To offer hospitality is a very gracious act, but for the Middle Eastern cultures, it becomes supreme. I remember when I was in the Holy Land, I was walking in the old city of Jerusalem and I noticed a vestment shop, and I went in to ask about how much one of the vestments would cost, and he said, "I tell you, but first we have coffee." Well, I wasn't really in the mood to have coffee, but knowing how they are, it would have been a great insult for me to say to him, "No, thank you." So he comes back out with a coffee pot and cups with a very, very thick, dark coffee. So as he sipped and I chewed, he asked me questions about my life in the United States and how I was enjoying Israel, and he told me stories about his family. And then once we had our coffee, then he was able to do business. In our reading today, there is a particular code of the desert in the first reading, not to offer food or drink to someone passing by could mean the difference between life and death in the desert. And if they did die because you didn't offer them something to eat or drink, their death was on you. So Abraham sees these three, and because he is in relationship with God, he knew it was God, and that's why he bowed down to the ground when he came forward. He doesn't just give him a drink of water, but gives him a whole meal. He gives him rest in the shade and spends time with him. With the gospel, Martha is being very anxious about fulfilling that code to make sure there is enough food and drink for Jesus and companions. But Mary is very intent just sitting there listening to him and coming to know the Lord better. I have two seminarians right now in Calcutta, India. They are working this summer with Mother Teresa's sisters. When I talked to the one in the end of June, he said, "Father, it's 101 plus humidity here, and we have neither fans nor air conditioning. Not pleasant." But every day, he gets up at 20 to 5, and he and the sisters spend an hour of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, sitting silently before our Lord. And then they have Mass at 6, and then at 6:30 they have breakfast, which is a cup of tea and a banana, and then they go off to work. He's been a little surprised by all of this, but he says, "You know, the sisters are so joyful. They're so happy to be with the people." And he says, "It's really taught me a lesson about who I am and what I'm doing with the Lord." Mary and Martha are beautiful examples of discipleship for all of us, just like the sisters of Mother Teresa's Calcutta. We need to take that first time to pray, just to be in the presence of the Lord and listen and bring to him our concerns and offer him our love and ask for his guidance throughout our day, so that what we are about to do may bring good fruit. And then after having prayed, we can go out and do what the Lord has asked us to do. Martha, Abraham, and Sarah did just that. They were able to listen to the Lord and do it. Dedicating ourselves to the Lord is a daily event. And when I was in grade school, every morning in school, we used to pray the morning offering. It was something we did from kindergarten all the way to eighth grade, and maybe because of just repetition, I continued it throughout high school and throughout seminary, and it's the first prayer I pray every morning when I get up. It's a prayer dedicating everything of that day to our Lord, to my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings. The most profound thing I'm going to do today and the most mundane thing I'm going to do today, I give over to you, Lord, so that you can use it for your honor and glory, for my help, and maybe for the help of somebody else. In listening to the Word of God, strengthened by the Eucharist, helping to hear his voice moving in ourselves, we can offer the rest of the day, knowing that he is guiding us throughout it. If I am listening to the Lord and following his commands in my daily life, then I'm on track, and I'm living my life intentionally with God at the center.